the big work this season, except for more technology development stuff, is actually looking at the impacts of the miticides that are used to control varroa that they have overseas, a little parasitic mite that's everywhere in all bee countries except for Australia. And looking at what the chemicals they use to control that mite, looking at what impact they have on the bees' behaviour themselves.
The difficulty being that mites have got 8 legs, bees have got 6 legs, but they're getting...
Sometimes there's not a great deal of difference, especially when you're talking about a pesticide. The pesticides that they've tested and used overseas have been deemed to be safe on bees, but a lot of that, I think, is an artefact of the way that they test pesticides anyway. So it's more about whether they're lethal to the bee rather than what we call as having a sublethal effect. So it doesn't kill the bee, but it has some other effect. So it might disorientate the bee so it can't find its way back to the hive, or when it does its little waggle dance, it tells the bees to go off in the wrong direction, or it impacts its memory so it can't find the foraging patch that it has been to, all these sorts of effects. And that's what we're really interested in.
So how to test this? How many sensors on how many bees?
Compared to the last couple of years, it's going to be pretty quiet. So I think we're talking about 6,000 sensors. So that's pretty good compared to what we've been doing. We've been aiming for anything up to 10,000 in a season. So we set ourselves what they call a stretch target, especially from the technology development end. It has been a stretch, but it was always going to be. And, you really got to challenge yourself to try and reach goals like we're aiming for.
Radio frequencies, is that what you're still with?
Yeah, we're still playing with radio frequencies because the end sensor that we're working on is self-perpetuating. So there's a little energy generation unit that has little moving parts that vibrate and move about as the bee actually flies. And then it has a little micro battery which stores that energy to power the sensor itself.
So is this just an idea, or have you got prototypes out?
No, we've got prototypes and they're working. So the battery is already at the end stage. And they're just miniaturising the energy generation, the energy harvesting unit at the moment.
So batteries powered by bees.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a cool concept, isn't it?
Yeah, it's science fiction, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing, especially this little energy harvester thing that just generates power from the bee flying. It's kind of crazy.
Well, the other crazy thing is the international interest in this. Yep. After the initial launch of the project, what's happened since?
Well, since then we've launched because after the initial media coverage that we got, which went over to over 200 million people worldwide, we've started the Global Initiative for Honeybee Health. So it's really sort of a lot of scientists that work in that field in bee research networking together and using the technology that we're producing to try and understand the global declines in honeybees. But it's also moved on to other species as well that are equally economically important, especially in some of the impoverished regions of, say, Brazil or Mexico and things like that. They've got a lot of problems with deforestation and the impacts that that might have on bees. Also, they've got cash crops like Brazil nuts, for instance, that are bee-pollinated. Brazil nut trees 50 metres tall, and normally it's just a rainforest plant that they harvest the nuts from, but they're really trying to develop orchards of Brazil nuts, but they're having problems in these orchards with the rates of pollination or fruit set they're getting, and they know what bee it is that does it. It's this great big black carpenter bee that's about 5 centimetres long, 2 inches, and really want to try and understand how those bees act in these new environments compared to the rainforest.
So put on a sensor, see where they move,
exactly, and if their behaviour mimics what goes on in the environment, maybe it's some other thing, maybe it's not the bee at all, but at least we can negate that.
So where else in the world is the sensor technology being looked at?
We've got one set up in New Zealand, several systems set up in Mexico, Kenya, United Arab Emirates, and the UK as well. So they're interested in something different, again working on the bumblebee and what impacts the radiation from the Chernobyl nuclear reactor might be having on bee behaviour. So it sounds very specific and everything, but I think it has a greater impact about what impact radiation has on bee behaviour as a general rule.